Hello, everyone listening. This is Danny Lewis speaking here, and we are beginning a shiur on Shiur Enjoyment's website in Mishnayos. We're learning Maseches Bava Kamma, Seder Nezikin, and the goal of the shiur will be to learn inside the Mishnayos with the parish of the Rav, Rav Avadia and Bar Tanura. Occasionally, I'll also be adding some comments from other Mefarshim, but essentially, we're going to read inside all the text of the Mishnah and the Rav, and hopefully try to explain it in a clear and concise way. Our goal is to do about 3 Mishnayos a day. It could be sometimes that'll have to be a little shorter, depending on the difficulty of the Mishnayos, or a little longer if they go a little faster. I am not sure yet what the story will be about Friday, but likely this year will also go on Friday. So it'll be 6 days a week, most likely, Sunday to Friday. I'm calling from Eretz Yisrael. Sunday here is a regular day, so we'll probably do it on Sunday through Friday. That's the goal, and we'll see what happens. So we're starting Bava Kamma. Here we are, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Arba Avos Nezikin. There are 4 major categories Avos of Nezikin, each of which, as we'll see, will have Todos subcategories also. Hashor, V'habor, V'hamave, V'hever. Those mean, at least according to the Pshat in the Mishnah that we're going to learn here according to the Rav, Hashor literally means an ox or a bull, but it refers to damage done with the legs of the animal. V'habor, bor is an open pit. Hamave means the tooth of an animal, damage done through biting, eating, v'hever, and hever means fire, damage done by someone who lit a fire. Lo hari ashor, we're going to read all in the Rav and we'll understand all the nuances here. Lo hari ashor kehari hamave, lo hari hamave kehari ashor. Basically translated, it means that the halachos, we'll see if this will be the conclusion, the halachos of the damages that pertain to ashor, which again means damages done with the legs while walking, are not like that done with the tooth, v'lo ha'yamave k'ari ashor, and not the other way around either. V'lo zev zeh, and these two are not like sheish ben urachayim, these two that have in them a spirit, a living animal, they're talking about the way an animal damages, they are not like in their halachas k'ari sheim bo ruachayim. They are not like fire. Fire does not have active spirit moving, although it is mobile. V'lo zev zeh, shadarkan leilei chalahazik, and not all of these previous three, that their way is that they travel, they're mobile, and they damage. They are not like a pit, an open pit, and other things like it that we'll see, that are not mobile, although it is their way to damage. And then that, therefore, concludes the Mishnah with its last line. The common denominator in these 4 main categories is their way is to damage, and their the obligation of guarding them is on you, you being the owner. Because Jehizik, and when they damage, when it damages any one of these, Chav Hamazik V'Shalim Tashlumi Nezik V'Meitav Ha'Arts, the damager will be obligated to pay the payment for those damages, B'Meitav Ha'Arts, from the best of his land. Those are the words of the Mishnah. Let's see the Rav to explain all the points that we saw. Says Rav, Arba Avos Nezikin, 4 main categories of Nezikin. Mishum de'ika l'chol chad minayu toldos, because there are to each one of these things toldos, subcategories, Karelu Avos, that's why these are main categories. Good enough. Continues the Rav, Ashor. Shor means, again, an ox. Hu haregel, that refers to its leg. Dahainu, which means, I mean, that's the concept. What's the concept? Masha behema mazekes biragleha, that which it damages with its legs, derech hilucho, by the way of its walking. Kidiksi, v'shilach es bi'iro, the verse says concerning damages, and Shmos Chaf Beis, v'shilach es bi'iro, he will send his animal. The Tanya, the Brisa elaborates on that verse, v'shilach zeharegel, sending out, the person here sent out his animal, means that the damage was done by the way it sent out, meaning with its legs. V'chein hu omer, so too it says in a verse in Yeshaya, Lam and Beis, m'shal chei regel ashor v'achamor, those who send out the legs of an ox or a donkey. V'tolda regel hu, what is considered a subcategory of this, and it would be the same type of damage, that is, kishihi zika begufo derech ilucho, when it damages with its body while walking, not with the legs, but still while walking. Oh, so, you know, its body runs into something like that. Oh, bisaro derech ilucho, or with its hairs, it could have rough patches in its coat, could carry items away, break them, something like that. Shenidviku kelim, he says, shenidviku kelim bisaro, that vessels, items get attached to its hair, v'goyros and v'sharos, and it drags them and breaks them. Oh, b'shalif she'aleho, or with b'shalif she'alev, who masui she'bam tachos v'maratzufin she'aleho. The shalif refers to a burden, a load that it's carrying in its saddlebag. Oh, b'zug she'bitzavara, or with the bell that's around its neck. Continues the Rav, V'habor, what's an open pit? Ha'paseach bor b'shus ha'rabim. This refers to someone who opens a pit in the street, in the right, in the open floor, inside Rishus HaRabim, inside a public domain, places where people will be, people, animals, etc. V'nafal shama shor or chamor. Into that pit falls an ox or a donkey, umeis, and it dies. Im habor amok asar tefachim. If that pit is 10 tefachim, then he'll be obligated to pay for the dead animal. O huzak, or if the item or animal is damaged, im pachos miyot tefachim, if it's less than 10 tefachim. So again, those are the criteria. It's for the damager to be obligated on a death of an animal that fell into it, the pit has to be 10 tefachim deep. In order to be obligated for only damages, it's enough to even be less than 10 tefachim deep. Dichsiv, as it says, ki yiftach yishbor v'gomer, it's an explicit verse there in Shmos Chaf Aleph. A person opens up a pit, etc. But told the bor, what is considered a subcategory of bor? Kigon keicho v'neo, it's mucus, it's spit, and animals, you know, or even human beings. Mucus or spit, if someone were to create enough of that to cause a problem. After they land in Rishus HaRabim and someone slips on them, let's say they damage, that would also be considered a subcategory of this. V'hamaveh, what is considered hamaveh? Maveh is zeh hashen, that is a tooth. Sha'okla behemto besod b'stei chaveru, a person's animal ate something in the field of his friend, someone else's field, kidiksiv, as it says, u'bi'er b'stei acher, it will damage it in the field of another. V'nikra shein mave. Why is a tooth called with the word mave? Mimnei shehu pa'amim b'chusam pa'amim megula. Sometimes a tooth is revealed and sometimes hidden. Miloshon navel matzpunov d'metargaminon iglayin matzmerohi. There's a verse in Ovadia that reads navel matzpunov. It's hidden. Things are revealed. That's how it's translated. Iglayin matzmerohi. So a tooth is sometimes concealed, sometimes revealed. That's why you can call it with this term mave. V'told d'shein he, a tolda, subcategory of tooth, is k'shchacha b'kosa lahana, also when an animal rubs itself against the wall for its own enjoyment, k'derech ha-behemo sh'mischachos v'shibras ha-kosa. Animals do that, they rub against the wall, and it broke the wall down. Oh, tinfa peros k'shchachacha behen lahana, or it dirtied some fruits when it rubbed against them. So, shein, the general idea seems to be things that it does for its own enjoyment or benefit, the animal. Hever, what's hever? Zu hidlika, that is, zu hadaleka, sorry, hadaleka means a fire. Sheyotza v'hizika, that got out and damaged. K'diksiv, ki seitze eish v'gomer, as the pasuk says, a fire got out. V'nechal gedish o akoma o asoda. The fire ate a haystack or standing grain or a field. V'tolda the eish, a subcategory of fire is, avno v'sakino v'masao shehinichan v'rosh agag. A person put a stone or a knife or any sort of package, any sort of burden onto a roof. V'nafla b'ruach mitzuya v'izika, with a normal type of wind that fell off and damaged someone. Dumi de'esha ruach malicha, that's similar to fire because it's being moved by wind. V'hadlo chashiv tana didan kerin, there's another category which we'll see is very common, damage done with the horn of an animal, damage done with kavana, which is categorized as the horn of an animal, like it gores somebody. Why isn't that included here? Why didn't the Tana include b'chal avos nezikin in the major categories of nezikin? Mishum d'lamayri ela b'nezikin she'emu adam mitchilason. Our Mishnah is only listing as main categories those forms of damages which are considered mu'ad from the beginning. Mu'ad means pre-warned, something that is inherently dangerous, inherently needs the owner to guard them. Those are these things. Meaning, those things that the owner has to pay full damages right from the beginning, the first time the animal would pull off such damages. Yeah. But Karen, case of goring, is something that we'll see, that the animal starts out as what's called a tam, innocent animal, until it damages a certain amount of times, or over a certain period of time, and then it's considered to be used to such things, and that's called mu'at. That type of thing our Mishnah is not calling a major category of damages. The only major categories here are these four, which are mu'at mitchilasan, they're considered pre-warned. One would be obligated for full damages from the first time the animal does it, and first time the subcategory was sometimes people, first time it happens. Lo hari ishur kahari amavet. Yeah. This is now the Mishnah going through that this one was not like this one, etc. So what did this whole list mean? The Rav goes through a number of steps, first in one explanation, and then he seems to come out with a totally separate explanation, as we'll see. Lo hari ishur kahari amavet. Kolomar. This is to mean, Had the Torah written the halachas of shor, which was regel, which is damage done with the foot or the body of the animal, you would not have learned tooth, damage done with a tooth from that. I would have thought as follows. Regel, that the damages of regel are common, on that the Torah obligated the owner. But shane, damage is done with the teeth, which is not so common, the Torah didn't obligate you on that. Because of Rachmanis Shein, the Torah would have written Shein, the tooth, Havamina, Shein, the Yesh Hana, Le'ezeka, Chayv. Shein, where there is Hana for that damages, that's where you Chayv. Regal Shein, Hana, Le'ezeka, Enu Chayv. Regal does no, there's no enjoyment to the animal out of that. A person is not, animals, a person wouldn't be Chayv for his animal doing that. Because of Rachmanis Shein, Viregal, what if the Torah wrote both of those, wrote the halachas of Shein and Regal, Lokosev Eish, and didn't write fire? Havamina, Shein, Viregal, Sheish, Behen, Ruachayim. I would have thought that Shein and Regel, that they have a living spirit, Kolomar, Shaboy Mikoch Balichaim, it's an animal. They come from the abilities of the animal. Chayiv, right? That the Torah obligated you, you have a moving being here that's going to damage. Aval Eish Shein Bo Ruachayim Lo Lechayiv. Perhaps fire that doesn't have a moving being causing the damage, you would not be Chayiv. Yavim Nichtavu Shaloshan, if the three of those had been written, Velo Kasa Rechman Abor, and the Torah had not written pit, the damages of an open pit, Havamina, honey lechayvish, a darkin leilich lahazik. Maybe those all three have to be that the Torah requires the owner to pay for the damages because they're mobile. They're mobile and they damage. Avol bor shein darkin leilich lahazik, but an open pit which does not move. Lo lechayv aleha, perhaps a person would not be chayv. Mishu machi itztrichu kulu. For that reason, our mission is pointing out that all of them need to be written. Now the Rav seems to change to an entirely different pshat. He says like this, the Gemara Masik, the Gemara really concludes, the ikas of bor v'chad mehanach asukulu shar. That really, it's not true what we just said. If the Torah would have written just the halachas of a pit, and any of the other three, we would have gotten the other remaining two. Levad mi karen, aside from the damages of karen, which were not talked about in this Mishnah, goring with the horns, but sada shav shebehen shedarkan lahazik. This sada shav, this common denominator, which our Mishnah mentions, that they will be mobile and they will damage, would have told you everything you need to know if the Torah had just written pit and any one of those. Lo hutruchu kulon, why do you need then the Torah to write all of them? Elune shehin chalukin behil choseim. This is what I was explaining when I read the Mishnah, this final pshat, that the real reason they're all written in the Chumash is because they are different in their halachos. Sheish bezeh ma shein bezeh. Some of them have certain halachos that are not in some of the others. Shein v'regel peturim b'rishus harabim. Damages done by the tooth or body of the animal are putter in a public domain. That's not true about an open pit and fire, that those are specifically obligated in a public domain. Open pit, interesting enough, if a person or items fell into it, is actually putter. The verse makes a point of saying that an ox or a donkey fell into that pit. The darshinan and the chazal v'drasha on that, shor, the word ox is coming to exclude v'lo adam, not a person. Chamor v'lo kelim, a donkey, and not items, not kelim, not vessels. Masha'en kein b'shar avos hazikin, that is not true in any of these other avos hazikin, that there's any difference if it's a person or an animal or a vessel. Eish pater bo'as ha'tamon. Fire, one is not obligated if it destroyed something hidden. Shim ahayu begadim timun and begadish pater amavir. Believe it or not, if the one had items such as begadim, clothing, hidden inside a haystack, and then that whole haystack went into flames, and obviously the clothing burnt, the lighter of the fire would not be obligated to pay for the clothing. The Ksiv Ohakama, one of the examples the Torah gives of the thing that was burnt was standing grain. Ma Kama Begoli, standing grain is something out in the open. Afkol Begoli, so too, only things that are out in the open. V'sharav Zizikim L'Patera Satamun, but the other three here, hidden items, are no less obligatory to be paid for than anything else. Hatzah Shav Shaban V'chul, the common denominator, as we said, is that they are things that damage, and you have to pay for them. Af ani avi kol shadarko lahazik u'shmirasa alecha. Therefore, I could include anything that is the way that it damages. You have to therefore guard it. And if it damages, shim hizik. If it damages, nischayv hamazik l'sham tashlim minezek shehizik. The damager would have to pay the payment of those damages. B'mei tava aretz. What did the Mishnah mean when it said you have to pay from the best of your land? Me'idish shebenachasav. From the highest quality of land that the damager has, that is what he has to pay from. Minam shubach shebehem, the best of it. In ba'alitein lo karka b'tash leminez nisko, if he's going to pay with land. Dixiv metav sedeu metav karmi yishalim, the Torah says it straight out, from the best of his field, the best of his vineyard, he should pay. If he has to pay, if he seems that he has a choice, if he wants to pay with movable items, with goods, any item is considered to be the best. If it cannot be sold here, it'll be sold elsewhere. It's always liquidatable. He can give him anything he wants, even bran, which is a very low quality item, bran. Vani mila nizikin. That is only true about our topic here, nizikin, payment for damages. Avalabalchov, if one has a debtor, he isle zuze mechayvine le limitan zuze. One has to pay money to the person he owes money to. Vilesle zuze, the person that loaned him money. Vilesle zuze, yoivle metatli my deboy. If he does not have money, then he can pay with items, whatever he wants. Vimagvile ara yoivle bemoni, bainunis. If he's going to pay with land, he gives him mid quality land. Uschir, a hired worker, even if the hirer, the employer, does not have any money, he must pay money. To a worker, an employer must pay employee money. You actually obligate the employer to sell items until he comes up with money to pay that worker. Okay, that's the first Mishnah. Let's go on to the second one. That's Mishnah Beis. Anything which I have obligated myself in its guarding, I am considered the one that prepared its damages. This is a bit of a cryptic line. We'll see what the Rav has to say about it. I'm going to keep reading the Mishnah first. If I have prepared part of its damage, I'm obligated in payment as if I have prepared all of its damages. This is now simply a listing of items on which one is obligated to pay for damages. It's just a list. Nechasim she'en be'a mi'ila, nechasim shel b'nei bris, nechasim that do not have mi'ila, which means there's no obligation of benefiting from hekdesh, from consecrated items. Nechasim shel b'nei bris, nechasim that belongs to Jews, nechasim ha'miyuchadim, and nechasim that have particular owners. Again, all this would be explained in the Rav. V'chol makom, and in any place, damages are obligatory to be paid for. Chutz merishus hamiyuchedes lamazik, aside from a domain that is specific to the mazik, to the damager, rishus hanizak vehamazik, and the domain that it belongs to both the damager and damagee. Ukeshehizik, and when the thing damages, chav hamazik l'sham tal shuminezik b'meitav ha'aretz. The damager is obligated to pay the whole price of the damages with the best of his land. That is an exact repetition, seemingly, of what we said at the end of the previous Mishnah. So amongst things that will be explained in the Rav will be, what is this line doing being repeated? So says the Rav, Kol shechavti bishmiraso, anything I am obligated in it. Kol davar she'niz chayavti l'shamro, anything that I am obligated to guard it. Okay, that's all the things we already spoke about. Hichsharti es nizko. I have prepared its damages. Imlo shemarti. That means if I don't guard it, karoi vihizik, properly, and it damages, aniyu shehichsharti vizimanti oso hezik. I am the one that has prepared and I have invited that damage. Vani chayvelov, and I am obligated to pay for it. Kagon, hamos rishor lechay rishot to the katan chayv. For instance, someone who gives over his ox to a person who cannot guard it, doesn't consider to have proper das, proper abilities, such as a deaf, mute, insane person, or a minor, chayiv is obligated on that. Shalav, even if that person does all the proper actions guarding it, if it gets out and damages, one is chayiv on that. Shalav hayimutol shmirat shoro v'hari lo shomer kuroi lo. Really, you're supposed to guard it, and you gave it over to someone who can't guard it. So it's you, even though you put it in the hands of someone else, you are the one who paved the way for that damage. There's a brice in the Gemara that says this case, that he gave over the shore to a chayre shot to the katan. It's a machlokes how to understand why he is chayiv. Either, as I said, explaining it, that a chayre shot to the katan don't know what they're doing guarding things. Or there's another opinion in the Gemara that even though they did it, even though they guard the thing properly, they could, in theory, guard it properly, but they, on top of being a chayr shot of the cotton, they did not guard the item properly, and that's why you're obligated. Okay, but in any event, the point of the Mishnah is to say that even if I'll put my item in the hands of another person, I'm going to be responsible. Hichsharti, in another person that wasn't himself responsible, I mean to say. Hichsharti b'miksas nizko, continues the Rav, if I have prepared part of the damages, v'chuli, v'im tekanti v'zamanti miksas anezik, if I have ordered, invited part of the damage, afal pishol is tikanti es kulo, even though I have not invited all of it, nitzchayavti alav ki'ilu lizmantiv kulo, I'm obligated as if I did all of it, as if I'm responsible for all the damaging situation. Kigon, Here's an example that will show off a little point here. Hachofer bor tisha Rishus Rabim. If I dig a pit 9 tefachim deep in Rishus Rabim, remember we said last Mishnah that you're only going to be obligated for an animal that dies inside your pit if it's 10 tefachim deep. So I only dug it 9. Uba acher v'shlima losar. Someone else came along and dug that 10th tefach and caused death to an animal. V'nafel shama shorech amor v'meis. Indeed, an ox or a donkey fell there and died. Ha'acheron chayev. That last guy who dug the last tefach is chayev. Alpha bishlotikin el mixas anezik, even though he only did part of it. Kilu asakol anezik is as if he did all of it. Kevan divitisha lekamisa. Because in that first scenario, it was only 9 tefach deep pit. It could not kill. So it is this person who indeed made it possible to kill. That's the end of the first part of this Mishnah, so to speak. Now the Mishnah goes on to list a number of scenarios where Yechayv, what type of, essentially answering the question, what type of properties am I obligated to pay for if my animal damages them? So it says the Rav, Nechasim she'em be'em be'ila. Val eze nechasim an Yechayv l'shalem hezekasi. On what type of items am I obligated to pay for their damage? On nechasim she'em be'em be'ila. Nechasim do not have me'ila. Could go nechasim she'en an hektish. Nechasim that are not consecrated to the base of Mikdash. She'im izakti nechasim shel hektish. Any Yechayv l'shalem. I would not be obligated to pay for items that my animal damaged that belong to hektish. Tiksiv shore'eu. This is a simple gezeiras hakasev. The Torah says damage that are done to the ox of your friend. V'lo shor shel hektish, clearly excluding a shor that belongs to hektish. V'u adin the chol shar nizikim. So to any other damage that is the case. Nechasim shehem shel bnei bris, nechasim that belong to Jews. Shem hizi nechasim shel nachir pater, one is not obligated to pay for property that belonged to a goy. It could be, I don't mean to say la'alach alamais, obviously nowadays it could be other factors that would come in, but according to the strict letter of the law, one would not be obligated to pay for that. Nechasim hamiyuchadim, nechasim that are specific, meaning sheish lehem bailim miyuchadim, they have particular owners. Shem hizik nechasim shel hefkir patur. If one were to damage ownerless property, they'd be patur. Now, that's obviously not so understandable because, well, if they're ownerless, then who would I have paid anyway? No one's going to be claiming the money. So either it means, there's the Gemara says that as a machlokas about it. Either it means the nechasim that were damaged were nechasim that were owned, but if they were hefker and after they got damaged, someone came along and grabbed that damaging animal, then be patur. For instance, you have a shor that is hefker, an ox that belongs to no one, and it gored a different ox that belongs to Reuven, let's say, and before Reuven could get a hold of the ox of the hefker one and do something with it, Shimon came along and grabbed it and said, I want this ox, it's mine. He's patur from paying. So too, it would also be that if a shor that was miyuchad, the shor that was owned by a particular person that damaged, and then afterwards he made that shor ownerless, he's patur himself, he's exempt himself from paying. There has to be an owner to the animal at the time of damage and at the time that it has that it's being arraigned, that's being decided that it should have to pay. The court case is happening. If there's not, then there's no payment. Okay? Back to the Rav and the Mishnah. Chutz me'rishus ha'miyuchadis lamazik. This happens everywhere except a rishus that is particular to the mazik. B'kol makom shehiziku nechasav es nichse chaveru chayv ha'mazik. Any place where the property of the damager damaged the property of the damagee, of his friend, the mazik, the damager, is chayv to pay. Chutz me'rishus ha'miyuchadis lamazik. Aside from rishus that is owned by the damager. Meaning, she'im nechas shor, if an ox wanders in there, nizak, the ox of the victim, b'rishus hamazik, into the rishus of the damager, v'heziku shor hamazik, and then the damager's shor damages that victim's shor, damages the other shor, patur. He's patur. To Amarle, you say to him simply, torcha b'rishusi, my boy, what is your ox doing in my yard? V'davka kishiziku nechas, this is only true if items damage, animals. Av lamazik atzmo shechav lechaveru, the damager can't go and punch the other guy. If he punches him, avo pishu hu omei v'rishuso chayv. He'd be chayv to pay even though the other guy is in his property. Damalei ha-nechbal, nehid islach rishus la'apuke. Granted, you had the permission to kick me out of here. La'azuke leislach rishuso. You didn't have any permission to punch me, to damage me. Rishus ha-nizek v'amazik. So too, these laws are not going to apply into a domain that belongs jointly to the damager and damagee. Rishus ha-miyuchedes l'nizek l'amazik. For instance, a courtyard that belongs to both of them. And a shore, if one of them goes and damages the other one's stuff,
in way of shein and regel, a tooth or the leg, like we discussed in the last Mishnah, pater. He's pater on that. V'hu shetiyah, there's a caveat here, though, only if osa chotzer miyuchadis l'shvarim gam kein, if that chotzer was a place that you keep oxen. Avol im haisim miyuchadis l'peiros v'l'shvarim, what if it's a place no oxen should be? There should just be peiros, items, fruit. V'hizim yishen of a regel, chayiv. In that case, he would indeed be chayiv, despite the fact that he's a joint owner of the property. V'im hizik bekeren, if this is not being mentioned exactly in our Mishnah, but because we haven't spoken about Karen yet, but if he damaged by goring with his horns, b'chol inin chayiv, he's always going to be chayiv. It wouldn't matter where it wouldn't matter that there's other shores here in this chotzer. The partner mazik that owns part of the chotzer would still be chayiv. Now, what about the repetition of the last line of the Mishnah, or repeat from the previous Mishnah? Okay, shehizik chava mazik l'sham tal shlu nezik b'meit havaretz. So there are two pshatim that are given in the Gemara. According to Shmuel, that we spoke about before, that holds that shore is regel, right? So this line of the Mishnah is actually speaking about Karen, and saying it's also true about Karen, that when he damages, he has to pay b'meit havaretz. There is also another girsa here that takes out u-kishahizik instead of u-kishahizik, kishahizik, when it damages. In which case, it's just a run-on sentence from the beginning of this Mishnah. It says all these places, and then when it damages, you pay this thing. I wouldn't be adding any particular chiddush that we didn't know in the previous Mishnah. Okay, being that we've already gone for about 25 minutes in these two very detailed Mishnayos, we'll stop for today. Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow with Mishnah Gimel.